How often do you get five authentic jazz masters together on stage, not to play, but to talk? These National Endowment for the Arts award winners gathered earlier this month as part of the Jazz Masters festivities. The youngest of them at 65, Dave Liebman, Coltranean sax player and composer, is there appreciating that there are new outlets for a new generation.
It's fantastic how it's getting to everywhere. There's some kind of interest. There's a lot of smoke. You know, I'm not sure there's a lot of fire, but there's a lot of smoke going on. And that's nice. A lot of interest in that way. And I think to me, it's a positive thing that this next generation, you know, they want to play. They're not going to give it up. So they got to find a way to do it.
The pianist Ellis Marsalis is there to represent the Marsalis family of masters. A lot of the talk is about how their contemporaries started in the business and how it happens now.
Without getting on a soapbox, I think where we are now is there are a lot of decisions that students can make. However, I think it's always suspect when people go to universities and come out with a degree which certifies them as a jazz musician. So
that's a relatively recent idea, official certification as a jazz player. And talk about recent, they're sitting in a room that's part of Jazz at Lincoln Center. Its own home has been open for less than a decade, with that big word up on the marquee as you enter.
When I walked into this building today, it's the first time I'd seen it. I saw jazz. Jazz seems to be much more recognized and accepted in the so-called high institutions of learning.
Hubert Laws. He's a great flute player, both classical and jazz, one of the few. He was a classical flute student at Juilliard many years ago.
I used to attend the old Juilliard School over on 122nd Street in Claremont. There was no curriculum, no recognition for jazz at the Juilliard that I attended during the years I attended. I remember Chick Corea and I would go off into the practice rooms of the old Juilliard. And that was the only jazz that was there. It was something that was totally spontaneous. And he would gather Spike Lee's dad, Bill Lee, bass player, and we'd go off in the practice room and we'd jam. That was the only jazz that was really done there, but unofficially. But now you
wish I'd been there to hear that. But wait, there's producer Oren Keepnews, who is also on stage, being honored with the award for jazz advocacy.
I'm delighted to finally get told that I'm a jazz master, but I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean.
Keepnews, irascible as ever, is in his mid-80s, a pioneering record producer who made dozens of great records in what is now thought of as a golden age for jazz, including many of the best Thelonious Monk recordings and an impressive list of others.
What I still am, I'm the same guy that I've been for a lot of years, which is a formerly young man still scuffling for the same amount of opportunity to do my thing. My idea of how to be a jazz master is to keep on doing the same stubborn thing that you've been doing all the while.
Over to the right in this NEH Jazz Masters panel discussion is Johnny Mandel.
I was born in 1925, and I heard music all around the house all the time. And, you know, I grew up like all kids at that time, glued to the radio.
An arranger and composer who started as a trombonist, Mandel has done everything. Written jazz scores for the movies, arranged for big bands and small bands, written hit songs. He learned from his early listening.
I'd hear this band from high atop the so-and-so, and it would sound wonderful. And then I heard another band, and like from the Midwest, Dick Juergens or somebody like that. It sounded putrid, and I said, wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture. And it took about 2 weeks before the light bulb went on over the head. And I said, it's not the song. It's the way somebody writes the music for that band. Well, nobody knew what an arranger was before 1940 or even then. They thought it was somebody who moved chairs around or something. So I realized very early that's what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, I was 20 years in the business as an arranger before I ever wrote a song, believe it or not. And the first song I ever wrote was Emily. Mm.
Great song.
So what do these jazz masters think is the future of the music?
The important thing is that we move ahead basically through individual effort, but it's always at war with what's going on in general, because the people who are out there to make all the money want there to be as much uniformity as possible, because you can't sell millions of copies of a record that doesn't blend in to some extent.
Basically, this panel wants to retain the soul of the music, though they may not always agree on what that actually means.
But I think that word is ambiguous, because I sat there at the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and listened to soul too.
Yeah?
Yes, because when I listened to Wagner, Richard Strauss,
yep,
man, it appealed to my spirit. I mean, I don't know if we want to try to categorize music that way, because that's a term that may be dangerous to us. It sort of puts people in a certain box. I never wanted to be considered, like in a box.
It's always great when a non-conforming, argumentative, non-box kind of person gets a prize for not blending in. In this case, no red carpet, not much glamour, but real prizes for people who fought to be masters of their own fate and their own art. Hooray for that. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.